Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today's topic is called How to Simplify Your Life. A lot of you are involved in so many red tape, bills, mortgages, problems with relationships, families, friends. I figure, well, maybe we could all use a topic on life simplification. Of course, if you're pregnant and having a baby or just had one, then it's going to be tough for me to tell you how to simplify that puppy. But at least we can try. We can live and learn together and maybe figure out a few formulas. Maybe you'll call up today and let me know what your formula is for keeping life simple. I meditated over the weekend very deeply. I love transcendental meditation. And in such a very, very significant weekend, the weekend that begins the moon wobble, when the Scorpio sun will go into square to the north node in Aquarius, which will peak right around, I would say, if I was going to be accurate, around the 14th. I'll tell you what, I'll give you the exact moment of the moon wobble for those of you that need to know, and then I'll explain to you what it is so we can jump into our topic. Yeah, November 14th, right there, we got an exact Jupiter opposed Neptune and a moon wobble on that day. And the moon wobble is a phenomena that happens four times a year. 4 months out of the 12 months, four full months, one-third of the year, we are in a moon wobble stage. And this is what occurs when the sun right now moves into the fixed signs, because the north node of the moon is in a fixed sign and will be for a couple years. Aquarius, north node is retrograde in Aquarius, as always, it's always retrograde. And whenever the sun goes opposition, conjunct, or square that north node, which was during August Leo time, and now coming up November Scorpio time, and then February Aquarius time, and then May Taurus time, we will get a moon wobble. And the moon wobble occurs for 30 days. It has a 3-week approach orb and a 1-week passing, with a peak on the day exactly that it would be square, conjunct, opposed in the sky. And we get the sun at 22 Scorpio on the 14th of November, exactly square the north node of the moon, which will be about 22, 21 Aquarius. Now, the moon wobble period is similar to a Mercury retrograde, but it's different in that during moon wobbles, we notice that there's an incredible amount of disappointment that goes along with big projects. So you obviously might want to avoid getting married during a moon wobble. You might want to avoid buying a house or a car. You might want to avoid buying a boat, or I would say anything that's 500 or more. There is a percentage of disappointment factor that is connected with that. That means sometimes after the moon wobble is over and you've done it, it's like wanting to buy that Jaguar or that Ferrari so bad, and you buy it during the moon wobble, spend $50,000, and a week later it's like, oh, what did I need to do that for? That doesn't feel so good. So that's what that's about. Now, also, we do notice that there is a lot more period of plane crashes during the moon wobble for some reason. The 4 months out of the year when the moon wobble occurs, usually we get more plane crashes and more weirdness, like in the weather and with people's attitudes. The moon ruling the emotions affects how people feel. And usually we get an uncenteredness feeling. That's why whenever you meet new relationships during a moon wobble, it's not so bad the first week of the wobble. But I'd say if you met somebody new or bought a car or did something right around the peak, you know, the 10th to the 16th, ooh, you know, then you might have a little problem there. And my friend Steve Hines and Joanne Stambler taught me about the moon wobble, two of the world's greatest astrologers in equal house. And for years, for months, I didn't believe them. Then I started following it. And then it's been 6 years since they taught me about it, so now I believe it. So the moon wobble will be going on for 4 full weeks. It'll peak on the 14th. It'll be over on the 21st of next month. And you know, we got a full moon coming up. Also, we have all these Capricorn transits, cardinal transits that are upon us. So the next 4 weeks could be a doozy. And so if you're going to begin new projects or start major projects, do it today. Don't wait. Do it the first day of the wobble, because as we start building to the peak, things get crazy. All right, so there's an explanation of that. Okay, this is Monday, and in reflection as to what kind of topic I was going to do today, there were so many things going through my head. You know, should I do a topic on jealousy? Should I do a topic on meditation? Should I do a topic on materialism? And then I thought, you know what? I am so proud of the way my life is now that in retrospect, looking at my life 10 years ago, when it was not as complicated as it is now, I think for what I have and what I'm doing in my life, I've really kept it fairly simple. Because there were, you know, there were things where people told me that I should try to syndicate the show nationally. And there were times when people tried to advise me to buy a condo and a house. And there were times where I almost got married, where I wanted to adopt a child. And there were times when I wanted to get a dog or a cat. And there were times when everyone's always trying to tell you what to do with your life. You know, Farley, you live in too small of an apartment. Farley, your place is cluttered. Farley, you need to buy something. Farley, you need to invest. Farley, 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 Farley. It's real easy for other people to tell you what to do. And when someone you know, love, and respects tries to advise you, you know, how many times do people say to you, don't you think it's about time you got married? And don't you think it's about time you had a baby? There's something almost evil or negative about someone suggesting that you should expand upon your responsibilities and need to maintain your life, which is very karmic, because they've already done it. See, like, they have already gotten married, and they have already had the kids, and they have already bought the house, and they've already gone through hell trying to maintain all the above. I mean, I'm sure there's a few individuals out there that say, oh, I'm so glad I got married, and so glad we bought the house, and so glad we have the kids. But tell me it's easy. It's not. It's hard. And the purpose of today's topic, once again, is to remind people that it's fun to dream and it's fun to want things. You might want to check your jealousy factor inside of you, you know, which is a supplement of today's topic. In my opinion, one person that is jealous of another is upset because the other person has something that they don't have, or the other person is about to take away something that they currently have that they soon will not. So when you're jealous, you're either frightened of losing something or you're upset because someone has something you don't. The big question here is, do you really need what they have, or do you really want what they're taking from you? Oftentimes, if somebody has something you don't have, or if someone is about to remove a human being out of your life that you currently are with, I used to get upset and angry and hostile and vindictive about that and say, oh no, I have to catch up with the Joneses here, and I got to have that stereo TV that they have, or I got to have that boat or that car or that house or whatever. In the old days, somebody would try to steal my girlfriend from me, and I'd say, oh no, I want to kill this person, or I'm going to maim him, or I'm going to jump him. And so much anger and hate and hostility goes along with the emotion of being jealous. And of course, all of us have Scorpio factor in our chart. And the Scorpio factor, bing, you know, that right away runs the gamut of either being extremely spiritual and not caring at all about what other people have or whatever they're taking from you, or to the extreme left end of the scale, I mean the right end of the scale, the other side, would be the person who does very much care what the other person has, is extremely competitive, and does not want someone to take something away from them that they already have. So the Scorpio factor has a lot to do with this jealousy factor and with this emotion that we all have where we think we need things or people to make us happy. And this is what is really a sad thing, because a lot of people are upset with Farley because he's not a millionaire, or because he's not rich, or because he doesn't own or run his dad's business, or because he's not married and have kids. I didn't live up to too many people's expectations. In fact, I have an awesome philosophy that works for me wonderfully now because I have the Scorpio moon, and I was so much into wanting things when I was younger and being upset when people would take things from me. Right now, whenever someone wants to take something from me, then what I really try to do is let them have it or try not to resist as much, meaning mostly relationships. If somebody wants to steal something from you, that's something else. You have a right to protect yourself and defend your property, of course. But in relationships, if a person I'm seeing wants to see somebody else, I usually encourage it. Whereas in the past, I would have fought against that and said, no, no, and assumed a weak position. Then they look at me and say, well, you're so willing to let me go. Does it mean you don't love me or something? And right away I'll say, no, no, I'm just happy with myself and the one thing I know that no one can take from me and that I will also always have is my soul, is my spirit, is my inner love and my inner strength and my eternal self. So I just recognize and embrace the fact that everything here is limited. And I choose to keep my life simple. Now, if I fought you leaving me, then I'm going to complicate my life. Or if I'm jealous because my neighbor or my friend or my father or my mother or our brother or whatever owns something or has money that I want, then who's that going to hurt? See, like, it complicates my life, number one, because I have the emotions of wanting something that I probably don't need. Maybe a lot of money or an empire or a supercar or a house or whatever, which also requires a hell of a lot of maintenance, and also because everything in this world that you do want has a price tag connected to it more than monetary, it is karmic, which means it actually goes against your soul strength to require substance which is not of the spirit. It goes against the strength of your soul to think you need substance beyond the spirit of any kind. So what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with a whole lot of people on this planet involved in a massive power struggle right now because they're all fighting over their money, their land, their property, their assets, and their relationships, especially even the children. Oftentimes, when we will have kids and there'll be a custody battle, or somehow, some way, one of the mates will want to take that child away. And even though we think that's the worst thing that can happen to the child, the worst thing we could actually do is resist. Because maybe they don't know what they're getting themselves into. I have a friend in New Jersey, Mike Rilsky, one of my best friends. He's like my brother. And he was married for 7 years to a beautiful girl, Miss Florida, runner-up or whatever. And they had three beautiful children just the way she wanted. And they moved into his dad's house after his dad died just the way she wanted. And after 7 years, they got the seven-year itch, the old Saturn square Saturn in the marriage chart, and she decided she wanted to be with another man. Well, Mike was caught in the middle of going from an extremely complicated life that was filled with the karma of maintaining the health and welfare of those children, maintaining the marriage, keeping up the house, and also maintaining a fiery relationship. But you know what? He's got a friend named Farley Malaris. And I told him to let it all go, which at first was very difficult for him because he thought, now, wait a minute, I've lived my whole life because I thought I was going to have the wife and the kids in the house. But this guy now is a happy camper. He's got his own little apartment. His bills have been reduced by about three-fourths. He has to pay child support for the kids. But the problem is that she's now living with the guy that she had an affair with on him, and he's footing the bill for the rent, and he's involved in the karma of all of the above. You know, the dream that his wife wanted to create, Mike now only has to deal with visitation and child support. Whereas in the past, it was like living in a forest fire and instead of fighting it, just walking away and letting the forest burn. So his life is simple. This guy is happy. He's spiritual. He's holistic. He's sober. He's clear. He feels wonderful about himself. When the kids are around him, he has a great time with them. And, he is extremely spiritual. Now, his ex-wife and the kids and the father, on the other hand, are in a big mess because they are involved in a huge circus of karma, which is what she wanted, the house and the kids and all that stuff. And in retrospect, we take a look at what Michael did, and he's happy because his life has now totally been simplified, and he doesn't have the problems or the karma that he had 3 years ago when he was married with two babies and a little girl growing up. And a wife who is complicated and complex. And, you know, I think the problem that many of us have is that we want too much and we're too jealous of everyone else. And that we put ourselves in a position and a situation that if we don't have things we think we need, then we suffer. If we don't have people that we think we want and other people take them, we suffer. And this creates the Scorpio factor, anger and emotion and hostility that doesn't hurt anybody but us. And if you don't feel good, you know, if you're having a health transit and you're wondering why you have this chronic problem that won't go away, then oftentimes it has everything to do with the fact that you are holding in an anger and a hostility, a hate, or a jealousy over an issue that you haven't let go of because you think you need it, or a person that you haven't let go of because you think you need them. And oftentimes the universe is so perfect that it does just what we need really, in spiritual sense, exactly what we need. If you're having family, wife, and kids and career taken from you, then believe me, I believe in the philosophy that everything happens for a purpose, and hopefully everything happens for the better. Even if you have a dread disease and you're dying, eventually you're going to go in the light and be through with this mission, through this experience. So, you know, it's just a matter of getting through that experience and entering a more ascended state, hopefully. If you have an attitude where you don't believe in God and where you hold anger and hate and hostility and jealousy and frustration, then these are emotions that compound in your body and create a health karma. Now, if you have a health karma, then that means you're not taking care of your life's karma. Your life has become complicated. It has become complex. It is out of hand. It is not simple. Meanwhile, you are worried about all of the above. And if you would just be content with counting your blessings, whatever they are. Hey, you get food. If you get food during the day, which most of the planet don't get. If you have shelter during the day, which most of the planet don't get. If you have clothing during the day, which most of the planet do not get. And if you have the ability to do things like own a phone, watch television, drive a car, even take a bus. You got to count your blessing. If all your limbs and your hands are in shape, if your body basically feels good, if you can breathe freely and clearly, if you have some good lifestyle habits, if you have some fun friends and fun people, these are things you got to count your blessing. There are so many people out there that think they need technology and power and empire and money and family and children and all this stuff to make themselves happy, that what you really see when you see somebody that is real rich with a lot of bills and a big mortgage and a huge family filled with kids and somebody that has created an incredible life situation, right? What you're really looking at is someone that has a lot of karma, someone that has a lot to work out in their lives, a lot. And oftentimes the burden and the responsibility that is attached to that is so heavy that that's where pain comes in. We're talking intense pain. I prefer to keep my life simple. I have a wonderful philosophy. It's to hang with people that feel good and not to hang with people when they don't. Because when people don't feel right around me, if it's not easy, then why should I complicate my life? You know, so many of us will shortcut relationships and situations in their lives. Well, they'll say, well, the relationship's not perfect, or the sex isn't perfect, or we don't have enough money, really, but let's do that. Maybe it'll take care of itself. Oftentimes, it doesn't. It gets worse. I have this one friend that keeps trying to come back into my life over and over again, and every time they do, it's the biggest pain in the neck in the history of the world, that when I'm not friends with this person, when they decide to give me space, I'm a lot happier. And I'm starting to tend to think if this person tries to become my friend again, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, Charlie, you missed the bus here. My life is a whole lot more fun now without you than it was with you, and I don't really feel like involving in your complicated lifestyle. You get my point? Yeah, and a lot of people are always fighting because their family's not right, their parents aren't right. If you don't like the relationship you have with your parents, then stay away from them. Give them some space. Try to create a new type of lifestyle instead of taking money from them or begging them for help or finances. If they're not really doing anything good for you, then leave them alone for a couple years. When they call and write you, when they say, hey, how come you're not more friendlier? Say, you know what? I don't feel like family with you. Because when I've been in trouble, you haven't been there for me. You know, all you can call me is a bum or a loser or somebody that's down and out. And when I've needed you to help me, you haven't been there. And but you expect those friendly little phone calls and visitations, and that doesn't play with me. You know, there's so many ways you can keep your life simple. And the easiest way is to identify your pain and see why it's there. And when you show yourself your pain and see that you have pain because of dreams that have not been fulfilled, like that dream you might have to be a superstar, or that dream you might have to be a great musician or actor or comic, you might be in pain because you don't have as much as the other guy or gal has. You might be in pain because you're jealous that someone took someone away from you and it still bothers you. You haven't let go of it yet. Even though you don't deserve either of them, it still bothers you. And what you need to do, really, is count your blessings, keep your life simple, and sort of acknowledge to yourself when you notice the symptoms of jealousy, hate, anger and frustration, and try to find the source of it. Why are you so frustrated, Farley? Are you frustrated because you haven't sold your boat yet, which is a 17-year-old boat with sitting at the marina? So what? If the universe wants me to sell it, I'll sell it. If not, let it sit. We'll just pay the slip rent on it and the heck with it, you know? And I realized that life was not meant to be this simple. Believe me, life in the 20th century and the 21st century may get more and more complicated as long as we have things like property and possessions and relationships the way they are, unless we open up this planet to more of a family of man with barter and sharing and brotherly love and humanitarianism. Until that point, we're going to be involved in a vortex, in a circus of karma, where everybody is involved in a massive rat race of competition and acquisition. And I prefer to stay out of the rat race. I don't have to work a 40-hour week to be happy. If I work a 10 or 12-hour week and I can succeed, so what? The rest of the week I'm going to be creative and have fun and keep it simple. I think the ethic in the Soviet Union, with all this work, 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 I think you can get just as much production and more efficiency out of people if you work them less and give them a day off every other week. Then their attitude and their morale is going to be a lot better, and everyone above is going to have a lot more fun. But people on this planet do not know how to keep things simple. Everything has got to have complications and red tape and signatures and co-signatures and all kinds of certifications this and notarizations of that, and everybody's got to have tons of red tape. I'm real happy you have a big portfolio that's filled with real estate. I'm also very happy that I don't have to deal with paying your mortgages every month, too. I don't have to face that. I would rather pay $600 a month rent the rest of my life than throw away $2,500 a month in interest on the hope that my real estate's going to go up and not down in case L.A.'s hit with a massive quake, God forbid, and real estate all goes to hell in this city, which is possible. And who's going to buy real estate in an earthquake zone that's a known earthquake zone, especially when a catastrophic quake hits? And everyone in the whole world says that L.A. is going to be hit with a quake. Well, with that mindset, eventually we might. So who wants to go out there and spend a ton of money? The beautiful thing about this topic, and the most wonderful thing about astrology in general, is that astrology, for me, was the key to help identify my obsessions, my jealousy, my frustration, my hate, my anger. Yeah, Farley Malaris with his south node in Scorpio, which is the most angry south node. If you have north node in Taurus and south node in Scorpio, or north node in the second house and south node in the eighth house, wow, have you come from one angry, frustrated, irritable past life? We're talking a whole bunch. And it was so important for me to learn early on that I didn't need the things my dad needs, supposedly, to be happy. But until I was about 35, I thought that I needed to be just like Fred to be happy. Uh-uh. No way. We are really different. But up till that age, I thought we were the same. I am a lot more into coming home, sitting down, relaxing, meditating, playing with my birds, making some phone calls to my mom and my friends, plugging into people. Dad is, my dad, I love him, but he's focused on thinking all the time, on business, on action, on profits and on innovations business-wise and sports. And like, it's like, for me, it's fun to have action once in a while, but I can't do it all the time. It's too frustrating, because when you get involved in business and sports that much, you're going to have some losses, and it's going to hurt. You know, I turned out to be a different kind of person, and I did because I was able to understand the ramifications in my chart. Having a sun in Leo and a moon in Scorpio square each other, having Pluto in Leo square my Scorpio moon, Mercury in Leo square my Scorpio moon, Saturn in Leo square my Scorpio moon. This was a very, very vulnerable, sensitive child that was raised in a conditioning where I thought I needed a lot to be happy. I don't need anything but my spirit and my soul and whatever it is, whatever simple emotion creates inner peace. But I didn't know any of this until I got my chart done in 1975 and 76, when I learned what it meant, when I found out what a compulsive and an obsessive and a competitive personality I have. Sure, some of the traces are still there, but thank God for astrology that helped reveal and actually pinpoint your karma and shows you what areas you're going to be hurt in. If my relationships didn't go the way I wanted, oh, we're talking 5 years of pain. When somebody I knew died, another 5 years of pain. I couldn't let go. If my business deals or my career didn't go right, anger and hate toward my friends and family for years. I'm not like that anymore. Hey, que sera, sera. That's what my mom used to always say. Whatever will be, will be. Just let it go. Don't worry about it. Keep it simple, and if it happens, then accept it. Embrace it. So I'm really glad that I got into astrology.